Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello, and welcome to At Your Instep. This is Morgan McCarr, and I'm joined by, Mike Kenny and Jordan Kennedy. And as per usual, we are going to go ahead and break into everything. And wait, hold on. Is there someone else here?
Is there somebody else here?
Oh, that's right. We actually have a super special guest for our 10th episode. And it is none other than Ruben Bressler. How are you doing today, Ruben?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Fabulous intro.
I don't know how we got you on here. Listen. I don't come on here to be judged.
You've reached double digits. Your podcast is a man now, and so you have to get a fake magic celebrity on the show.
Exactly. Well, we are honored to have you on here, and just wanted to start off with giving you a quick introduction. And Mike, do you want to take over for me on that?
Well, Ruben, so you, I figure we'll just start here. Why don't you go ahead and give everyone the spiel? Some people, a fair amount of people will know who you are, but otherwise, give them your spiel, who you work for, your job, all that fun stuff.
Sure. Hi, guys. My name is Ruben Bressler. I am a video and coverage content associate at Star City Games, and I'm also an event coverage coordinator for SCG Live. I have 2,700 Twitter followers, and I talk about Magic a lot, and... I am a co-host of the In Contention podcast. I do a bunch of other Magic-related stuff. I used to have a video show called The Main Phase way back in the day. I do the newsening and the interviewsening these days. And I am a podcast mercenary, I guess, nowadays. I'm on my podcast this week. I was on one last week, and I'm on another one next week. Ooh. So I guess I'm popular these days for some reason. But, But yeah, I'm a Magic commentator for StarCityGames.com, and I do a bunch of other stuff for SCG.
Awesome. And you also are doing the cooking now, right? Is that not true?
Yes. I do the cooking occasionally, which is something I decided to start. I just add the suffix ening to everything. That's actually ENING is my license plate here.
I think I saw that picture. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's my background for my Twitter. Anyway, so yeah, I like to cook, and one day I was live tweeting making Greek shrimp, which is a recipe that my mom taught me, and so I've done it a couple other times, and we decided to call it the cookening. So
that pizza looked really great.
I've never tried that before. That was a success. I was pretty happy with it.
You'd have to go into more detail than I would. Like, I'd be like, here's chicken. Take chicken. Put it in a pan.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta keep the audience invested.
Yeah, you gotta Lugosi it up. What are you doing here?
Exactly. Step one, get in car. Step two, go through drive-thru.
Sure. Step three, sadness.
That's most days. Not when I'm cooking.
No. So we kind of just wanted to cover a few topics this week.
Wait a minute, Ruben. This is a more important question.
Oh God, not this.
We ask everybody that comes on the show, and we've all answered it ourselves. And you can't be on At Your Instep without answering this question.
I do not have any outstanding warrants for my record.
Well, that's an interesting comment to make. But I'm more interested. Out of these three professional Magic players, which one would you fuck? Which one would you marry? And which one would you kill?
These better be all men.
They are. There is no instant kill in this three. We have the Pro Tour champion Tom Martell, the Pro Tour champion Luis Scott Vargas, and the, quote, most handsome man in Magic Pro Tour champion Brian Kibler. Brian Kibler, LSV, and Tom Martell. Whom do you choose?
This is a fuck, marry, kill?
It is. Yes.
Boy,
it's more of an art than a science.
Yeah, this is tough, man. I want to start out by saying that they're all lovely people.
Oh, correct.
However, I think that the first, my initial reaction is that I would marry Tom for the money. No, I'm kidding. I would, although, because I know, out of those three, I know Tom the best, like, vaguely, because I've done an interviewing with him, but the other guys are all lovely, and I think that actually I might get sick of Tom's lawyering, so I might just have to kill Tom now that I think about it, and not deal with him anymore. I think I'd have to marry LSV at that point, because you're not just going to have a one night stand with LSV. And assuming that his fiance is okay with it, I would have a one night stand with Mr. Brian Kibler. So I think that's the final. I think that I would fuck Brian Kibler, marry LSV, kill Tom Martell.
All right. Yeah, that is the group consensus. Mike was the only one.
Is it really? Have we talked about this a lot?
Martell's been killed so many times. He's been killed, like, I'm the only person who didn't kill Martell. Like,
you know, it's close. It's very close for me, and if you asked me on another day, I probably would just switch the orders. Mm-hmm. But that's my initial reaction.
Yeah, Mike wanted to kill Kibler. I don't know if that's ever correct. like...
Be careful with wanted to, okay?
What in the event this scenario had to become reality? I just don't think that's correct. But
the other thing that occurs to me now is LSV's doing this commentary gig, so having both of us in the same house for a long extended marriage might not work out, so I might have to change. But what? Sometimes you marry for the wrong reasons.
Happens.
So LSV and I got married for the wrong reasons, and we'll just have to live with our decision.
Live with your poor choices. It's all right. That's half America anyway. So we just kind of wanted to cover a few things on this week's podcast.
Absolutely.
So the first thing that we kind of wanted to take a look at here is it has come to light that In Contention is sort of taking a hiatus. And we know that it's such a huge voice for the Magic community, and to have it kind of take it away with us might have a lot of things that would impact the community as a whole. And I know that us as a podcast kind of just we're glad to have this chance to talk to Ruben about it.
Sure.
If you can at all, we just kind of want to discuss what's kind of going on with the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's important to get the message out there that In Contention is not going away forever.
Right.
Like, it's still going to be a podcast. It's just at this particular time, the three of us, and this was a decision the three of us came to, was that the three of us just can't do it right now. Like, a couple months ago, we went to twice a month instead of weekly. Because we were so busy and because of jobs and hashtag real life getting in the way.
Right.
You know. And so we just need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Joey's very busy with Shark Week and all that stuff. And Cranny's on a new job as well.
Yeah.
And our schedules also just don't really mesh all that well. Because I'm very busy on a lot of weekends, as is Joey. Joey is also busy nights, whereas Cranny has your standard 9 to 5, which is also annoying because the other two of us are available most of the time. Cranny's an adult or something.
Yeah, right.
So, we just decided that for now, but for this summer, at least, we just need to take a break, reset. Then when we come back refreshed, we can get it going again.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely understandable. I know that there are times when us, not necessarily being as busy as most people, we even have a hard time getting together to have a cast, or, sometimes there's just a lack of, stuff going on in the community that we really can construct a good podcast. So completely know where you guys are coming from with that. And
with me, it's a little bit easier because I'm in the Magic community
correct.
So much. Because it's my job. But these other two guys, they have to put in so much extra research and effort. And they do. Don't get me wrong. They still do it. But especially Joey, because he has to research for weekends when he's doing commentary.
Right.
And these guys are putting in, you know, enough work that it's basically a second job. But yeah. They just need a little bit to recover. Cranny's got a new house.
Yeah.
You know, Joey's got somewhat change in responsibilities, but he's also just got weird hours and I've taken on a lot more responsibility at Star City Games in a couple of other arenas. So we just needed to take a break.
Yeah.
But don't worry. I still have in contention stickers, and they aren't going to become a rare museum piece anytime soon. We're still going to be a podcast going forward, and can't wait to come back.
I'm glad to hear it's, you know, that it's not going away forever. I know when I came into the Columbus community, Sam Stodd was still here, you know, now working for Wizards, and that's who, you know, Cranny and you guys, you know, we're almost all together in that, so I was kind of like, oh man, I hope this is still here, because, like, essentially, with the exception of Cranny, who hasn't moved away, so to speak, but, you know, professionally, he's definitely not so much involved. So I know we'll see him at the Columbus PTQ this weekend. He's going to have his corner set up, is what we're told.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm excited about
that. And if the departure of Stodd couldn't get rid of the In Contention podcast, you're not going to get rid of us that easily.
It's true.
So we'll keep on trucking.
Well, that's good, and then we'll definitely can't wait to, see you guys back and have something to listen to, whether it be, you know, weekly, biweekly. It's great to always hear you guys discuss, you know, what's going on, and, you know, while they're away, well, you can always listen to At Your End Step, right?
Absolutely. There's a big gap at the top of the podcasting world these days, with In Contention going on hiatus. The change in scenery for some of the bigger podcasts out there, some of the bigger websites out there. So
yeah, most certainly. Mm-hmm, yeah. We discussed that last week. So I vote that we just have a battle royale style competition to see who's on top. You know,
yeah, man. When the alpha dies, the other wolves have to fight to establish dominance.
That's fine. We're all scrappy here,
and
right?
we didn't die. We're just going away. I'm not saying we're the alpha. You know what? My allegory didn't really work.
It's all right.
And I think we lose anyway, because, like, I'm all passive. So, like, I'll get hit and be like, "I'm sorry," and then, like, we'll just die. So I don't know if we should commit to this idea.
All right, fine, fair enough, guys. Fair enough. I tried. Well, kind of moving on from that, and more moving into the actual thing that this podcast is about most of the time, which is competitive Magic. Something that we really wanted to take a look at is the Invitational, and since we kind of have someone on here that was, you know, had their eyes on the floor, the Star City Games Invitational is, you know, a huge a test to see, you know, what's going to start. What's the cream of the crop of the standard decks that are available, and even the legacy decks that are available. So something that is always compelling are the people that get the deck techs and everything like that, that actually are having the interesting things that they're bringing to the table. Ruben, really, when you're looking around the area, the convention centers, what have you, what kind of, you know, drives you to not only do deck techs, but also pick feature matches as well?
Well, I'm looking for two things when I'm picking feature matches and looking out for deck techs. I'm looking for two things. Chiefly, I'm looking for people, because my responsibility is to the folks at home. What do they want to see?
Of course.
And for the most part, people want to see very good players. They don't particularly... The main thing is not particularly what innovations they've made. It's how good they can run whatever they are running. So if I have a good player with a new and unique deck, fabulous. But if I have the choice between a very, very good player and a player with a very unique deck, more often than not, I will put the very good player on camera.
Can I ask you something about that? So do you ever think, when you're going around picking these, you know, even these decks, these players, the flip side of that is when you do put a player on who maybe isn't as good, I mean, we all see it, Twitter and the comments section for you guys, they crucify those people. Like, do you take that into account too?
Not really. I mean, it's a side effect. I don't really take into account, because, you know, if I put, like, you know, a lot of people want to see Jerry Thompson on camera. So when I put Jerry Thompson on camera, and by the way, as the event coverage coordinator, that is my job to decide who's on camera what rounds.
Mm-hmm.
If I put Jerry on camera round one, odds are he's not going to be playing Todd Anderson round one, right? He's going to be playing, you know, Morgan McCarl or whoever. just a little jab. I'm not saying you're not.
No. Coincidentally enough, I actually did play Jerry at the Columbus Open.
Right. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, sometimes you don't know who the opposition is going to be until later in the day when.
Fair enough.
It's BBD against CVM. Oh, man. Uh-huh. We have two really well-known writers battling. But early in the day, not everyone's a Magic writer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I still want to put Jerry on camera. And so the difference between having one quote-unquote no-name and two quote-unquote no-names isn't that big of a deal. Like, Twitter's gonna hate regardless.
Yeah.
Like,
that's fair. I mean, that's what the community does.
That's what the community does best, is sit at home from their chair and tell you how you should have played while the rest of us, while 3,000 eyes are watching them play. You know, it's a little unfair to the folks that are on camera. But with that said, my major concern is entertaining the folks at home. And that typically starts out with who's the biggest and best in the field. With deck techs, it's slightly different. With deck techs, you know, you can only do a deck tech about Blue-White Delver so many times. You know what I mean?
So you want to gouge your eyes out.
Yeah, and so I will widen my field a little bit and say, you know, people will come up to me in the middle of the day and say, hey, man, I'm 4-1 with Tribal Soldiers and Legacy or something. And be like, all right, sure, let's run that. Or, you know, some of these, you know, not the Jerry Thompsons, not the huge top-end kind of guys, but the guys that are, you know, battlers and grinders that you've seen on camera multiple times. For example, I did a deck tech on basically the rebirth of Zoot in Legacy.
With Dan Musser. Yeah, I saw that.
Dan Musser's a name you've seen on camera a bunch. I'm relatively certain he's a very good player. So, yeah, let's talk about that. You know, and so there's a ton of folks out there like that are that kind of caliber, that have multiple open top eights, maybe a win or two, been on the pro tour. Like, that's the kind of person that, and also Dan's incredibly entertaining. And that's another thing that I like to keep an eye out for, is I'm not just going to entertain or do a deck tech with a guy playing Battle of Wits just because he's playing Battle of Wits. If he's boring, that's not going to help.
Right.
So if you've got a little bit of charisma, that certainly adds to it too. But if you've got a deck that you think is worthy of doing a deck tech on, and you're confident, and you're like 3-1, yeah, come on up and say, hey man, I got this deck, you're gonna love it, and I'm 3-1, and I might lose soon, so you should do it the deck tech now. No, I'm kidding.
I think it's a cool idea. Like, you know, that kind of encourages the brewers who probably aren't going to top eight, but at least get to do something. That's cool.
Yeah, so. Everybody loves lists, man. You can watch. That's true. You can watch TV, and you want to see the big names do well, or you want to see the underdog take out the big names. Like, that's the storyline you really want when you're watching SCG Live. But if you're just clicking around the website, a lot of the time, all you're doing for is just you know, trolling for lists.
Mm-hmm.
And the deck techs really really help with that.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it just gives you a sort of a snapshot of something that you may not see. That's always interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever done a deck tech with somebody? Like, somebody came up and seemed interesting, seemed like they had a good deck, and you went to tape it. And like, I know that's a finished product that you show, like it's edited a little bit by your team and stuff. But have you ever done a deck tech and it's just been like, dude, I cannot put that on the internet. Like, it was awkward and bad, and the guy had no idea how to talk about his deck. Have you ever done one that was just awful, or do you generally pre-screen well enough that that's not an issue?
I mean, for the most part, they're fine. Most people are happy to talk about Magic, so they usually end up fine. And if the person that I'm interviewing is shy or awkward, I just talk more and, like, do more setup.
Okay.
So I'm very good at leading the conversation to a place where it's much more comfortable for the person to talk to.
I just imagine you coax them with a cookie or something, be like, you do real wood, you're
going
to get this.
No, man. if they do well, that means they get to be on the website.
That's true.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it's it's a bit of a concern because I'm trying to entertain the people. So the more entertaining the person, the better the thing's going to go over. But I haven't run into it often enough that I consider it to be a problem.
Well, that's good.
I'm glad you're relieved by that.
That's true. Well, we wouldn't want to make your job harder.
Yeah, of course.
So the kind of further that then, so you say you kind of pick these decks and you kind of try to pick some of the unique ones with that. I wanted to know how, so that we have a top eight, you know, for the Invitational, and obviously the Invitational is a little more maybe inbred than other events because, like, you're metagaming against better players. So did the top eight for this Invitational, like, reflect the field, or was it like these were just really good pilots?
I mean, it's a Star City Games Invitational. There's going to be more blue, white, red than normal. Like, that's just the way it's going to go.
Right.
I think that there's probably an article that someone should write that is preparing for invite-only tournaments, and the smaller the field, the more ridiculous the field is. Like, the more weird the field ends up being. Like, if you look at the World Magic Cup, 13 of the 16 players were playing either Blue, White, Red, or Jund.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think it was half of the field, 50% of the field was on Blue, White, Red. That's just because the you know, quote-unquote best players like to play decks that have more play to them and where you feel like you're in more control. Meanwhile, two of the best performing decks were two of the three rogue decks, quote-unquote rogue, which were Kibler's red-green deck and the Craig Wesco Boros aggro, Slayer's Stronghold aggro deck.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They went 3-0 and 2-1, I believe, in the standard portion. And so if you know what type of format you're looking for, yeah, if you're not expecting any Bant Hexproof at all, Kibler's red-green deck is insane. If you're not expecting any life gain at all, you know, the Boros deck and the red-green deck are exactly where you want to be. This is why Reed Duke's choice of Bogles for Modern was so good. There was not going to be any combo, so why not just Bogle the shit out of people, you know? that also holds true for Invitationals. You know, you're not going to see there was only one Jund midrange, actually, in the top eight of the Invitational, but the top 16 was littered with it. So the top eight was a little bit non-representative of the field. But when you get to invite tournaments, you're going to find more Jund than normal, and you're going to find more of the top two decks than normal. And for Standard this past time, there was more Jund and more Blue, White, Red Delver than you might expect. And in Legacy, there was more Esper Deathblade and more Shardless Bug than you might expect. The top eight didn't really reflect how much Jund there was in the room, as there was only one in the top eight, but I think it was something like almost 30% of the field was playing Jund, which is a astronomical number for how much better the deck is in actuality. Like, the deck isn't that much better than every other deck.
Right.
We aren't playing in, you know, Stoneforge Mystic, Jace the Mind Sculptor, Blue-White Squadron Hawk days, right, where it just beats everything every single time, no matter what anyone does ever. It's not that. And so you shouldn't be playing the deck that much. And then on the Legacy side, four of the top eight were playing Shardless Bug in Legacy, and that's also not representative. Like, 50% of the field's not going to be running that deck. It's just that the quote-unquote best players like to have things in their control. They also expected less combo, which is also true usually for Invitationals. And so Shardless Bug became a much more attractive option.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're preparing for these invite-only tournaments, I'll give you guys some hints, listeners and also hosts. If you're preparing for these invite-only tournaments, identify what the best deck, quote-unquote best deck, is. Identify what the second best deck is, or what the two most played decks are going to be. And pretty much just ignore everything else and try to beat those two decks. That's what I tend to do. Like, have some game against the other decks. But you don't have to prepare for a ton of Bant Hexproof at something like an Invitational, because not a lot of people are going to play Bant Hexproof at an Invitational. It's just the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've played in four Invitationals myself before I got hired by Star City Games, and I cashed three of them and made day two of the other one, because that's all I did, was I was like, all right, these are the two decks that are going to see play in this format. I'm preparing for those two decks pretty much only. Right? Right. And so I played like Hive Mind at the Indianapolis Invitational that I guess it was the one before that. It was the Baltimore Invitational. And I had like a 6-2 record in Legacy. Hive Mind wasn't that good, but it's very good against the two best decks at the time. So
Right. That
you just have to metagame for what you expect to see.
Right. And yeah, people are always gonna want to play the quote unquote best decks in the format just because it's an Invitational and it's important. You can't be like rolling dice
People typically aren't going to brew for an Invitational. And for Invitationals, players tend to revert to blue cards.
Yeah.
More so than Pro Tours and more so than other invite tournaments, just because of the nature of player that plays on the Open Series, tends to be the types of players that prefer blue cards for some reason. So, and also the writers on our website tend to be blue players. You know, Todd Anderson and Jerry Thompson in particular are recently especially have been well in the blue camp. So,
I mean, you know, Jerry Thompson is the one who wrote an article about how green sucks. So I could,
yeah, right. Jerry wrote an article about how green sucks. Todd was one of the major developers of the Blue White Delver Menace that was occurring. Brad Nelson won a Grand Prix with Cawblade. Like, these are players that are mostly known for blue decks. You know, it'd be a different story if our website was all Paul Rietzels and Brian Kibblers, but most of the, you know, we do have Brian Kibler on Star City Games, mm-hmm. but for every Brian Kibler, there's a Patrick Chapin telling you the blue cards are awesome.
So, I mean, like, you kind of have to have that. I mean, that's always going to be representative. People are always going to flock to different colors. I think that's what makes the game good. And yeah. I like it when people are like, well, this is good. No, this is good. And like, there's just an epic struggle.
Now, personally, I want to play Land War Elf in every format that it's legal. Like, that's my style of deck.
Elvish Mystic, sir.
Yeah,
Elvish Mystic.
They fixed it.
I understand that Land War Elf is not legal in Standard. but yes, that style of card, like when Avacyn's Pilgrim and Arbor Elf were together, I was playing, you know, those kind of decks. Mm. I like playing 4 drops on turn 3 after I played a 3-drop on turn 2 kind of thing. And so, for example, the deck that won last week's Knoxville Classic, did you guys see this list?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yep. My god. That is where I want to be right now. Is like playing possibly turn three, usually turn 4, Archangel of Thunes. Sounds like exactly where I want to be living. And so, like, that's my kind of deck. The green-white, quote-unquote, little kid decks that are actually somewhat difficult to play. You know, I was a big proponent of Maverick for a long time in Legacy, and they're tough to play. That's a different skill. That's not most Magic players that are working for Star City, though, because the longer you play Magic, the more you like blue cards, usually.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
I'm thinking I'm running into that right now.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. But no, I saw the green-white that green-white deck, and I was like, hey guys, this won the Knoxville Open. I think we better watch out for that. I don't know how that deck continues to win, though, with Jund playing Lifebane Zombies main. That seems like a bit of a beating.
Yeah,
Lifebane Zombies. You draw the Archangel afterwards.
Yeah, no, exactly. You just draw cards off the top like Jund does. Miracle the Archangel after they miracle their bonfire.
Amazing.
But yeah, no, it's certainly the way to fight against Lifebane Zombie, and Lifebane Zombie is a hell of a Magic card. I would be surprised if that card doesn't start seeing play in Legacy. Because that card's basically Vendilion Click.
Right.
Like, so.
It's not bad.
So there's two ways. You can either just play a deck that doesn't have targets for it, or you can just ignore it. Like, Blue White Red Flash has some targets. So it has Restoration Angel. That's about it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the Blue White Red Flash deck just tries to ignore Lifebane Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one option. The other option is just jam your deck full of monsters. And they're like, alright, here's a Lifebane Zombie. And you're like, alright, I'll reveal this Colonian Hydra, this Wolfear Silverheart, and this Voropede. Pick your poison, sir. You know. And
all
so,
of these can kill you. You could take one. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And these all have 4 toughness as well. So... Yeah. That's the other way to go with it. I think that that there's a couple cards that the metagame is going to have to shift around. Lifebane Zombie is one of them. People are moving away from Huntmaster of the Fells and towards Lifebane Zombie in their Jund decks. Another card that people are going to have to start building around, and they haven't really had to yet, is Burning Earth. I mean, there was a lot of hype about Burning Earth going into M14 standard, and until Kibler came out with that red-green deck, nobody really used it to its fullest potential. You know, mono red's one thing. Mono red will always be a thing, but it didn't really have a huge impact at the Invitational, and it wasn't a huge piece of, you know, whenever it appeared on camera, just sort of didn't really have the support behind it. What you needed was the big heavy hitters behind it. What you needed was Thundermaw, Hellkite, and Hellrider. Just like when zombies moved to be bigger, like when it was back-to-back Grand Prix that Black-Red Zombies right. won, when they suddenly adopted Thundermaw, Hellkites, and Hellriders instead of, you know, rinky-dink little black one-drops and two-drops, like Bump in the Night.
Yeah. Right.
And so once you're getting to these bigger red decks, you know, those can also take advantage of it, but the red-green decks are certainly going to be the ones that can take the most advantage of a Burning Earth. Those are the two cards that I'd certainly see having the biggest impact that haven't really been addressed yet. Maybe eventually Archangel of Thune, mm-hmm. I guess, maybe. But, you know, that's just a guy. Like, I don't really know how you adapt to an Archangel of Thune more than you already have in your Jund deck or your blue-white-red deck. So,
kill it on sight.
Watching Compulsive Research last night, which is Scotty Mac's stream, he was playing Mono Red and against an Archangel of Thune deck that was playing Blind Obedience.
Nope.
So his opponent was like Flash and Restoration Angel, look story, put counter.
Oh dear. Well, that seems like a poor matchup.
He did not win, but it was absolutely. I'm like, oh look what Extort does. This is hilarious.
So, that's pretty awesome.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a thing. Let's see someone do that next open. All right.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, we only have so many skull cracks.
Yeah, you only have four.
Yeah, whatever.
but yeah, I definitely think that, especially Jund and Burning Earth, man, that's a beating. Me and Jordan both, that's both of our standard decks, and man, that card sucks to see on the other side.
Yeah, so you should, if you're a Jund player, you gotta see this list from the premiere event from yesterday. Have you seen this thing that had four Caravan Vigils in it?
No.
What?
Are you familiar with what this card does?
No, what is that?
I am familiar with it. It's a pseudo ramp spell if Morbid was enabled.
It's, correct? It's one green mana sorcery. It's Lay of the Land. Just search your library for a basic and put it in your hand. But if you Morbid, it goes into play instead. And so what this player did was he basically cut out the Blood Crypts, because you don't want Blood Crypts in, like, you're not keeping a hand that only has Blood Crypts in it anyway. And just, like, reshifted the mana base to take advantage of Caravan Vigil to be able to play spells after Burning Earth's already in play.
What?
Yeah, that's the game plan.
That's so deep. Oh, where is this? Is this on StarCity.com?
No, I don't think so. I think this was S-Man. This was Steven Mann, who top-aided Pro Tour Gate Crash. It was in a premiere event, either yesterday or the day before. That was a pretty deep way to go, but he's always innovating on Magic Online, and, you know, they're always about a week or two ahead of us. So don't be shocked if you're seeing Caravan Vigil on camera someday soon.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to check that list.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, people are doing crazy things, man. They're cutting Huntmaster the Fells entirely from Jund.
What? Sounds awful, but what, like, what?
I look, man. I don't know what to tell you other than, like, go back and look at Calgary. Go back, like, listen to this one. Go look at Calgary and look at the second place Jund deck, and you'll notice there's a card missing.
Yep,
from the second place Jund deck's list.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last episode, and we both just were like, no, it can't have gotten second.
Spoiler alert, Farseek, everybody.
Yeah, Farseek.
We were like, no, it could not.
What's going on?
Because, I don't know, like, Jund feels so bad off curve, like on curve. I don't,
I could say off curve, but actually it's on curve.
This guy's playing the full four Lifebane. This guy's playing the full four Lifebane zombie. He just wants to, you know, play a threat on turns, all the turns. Like, so he cut all the bad top decks out of his deck. So that's one way to go. Is you've got nothing but threats and elimination, and then the other way to go is to have four Farseek and four Caravan Vigil so that you can always cast your spells. And so,
I mean,
something as boring as Jund, there's innovation still happening.
I know this weekend I switched, so I've been playing Edelmaya since, you know, Willie Edel, you know, played it for the first time. I was very sad to sort of let that deck go, but the there were some pretty interesting expletive laden tweets from Willie Edel from the World Cup after he's getting all the Lightbane zombies. Like, why are people playing all these fucking Lightbane zombies?
Yeah, man.
So I switched
the magic card.
It is. I switched off to Bant Control trying to do the same thing. And Burning Earth, you still gotta play like Detention Spheres and stuff, but like just gotta try and avoid Lifebane Zombie. That card's just gonna be good for a very long time.
Yeah, that card's gonna see. Yeah, pick them up if you haven't already. That card's gonna be double digit dollars for the rest of its life in Standard.
Well, allow me to go to, for the shameless plug, StarCity.com and
there you go.
Just for all of your
singles and booster packs and playmats needs and things.
You're out of stock, Ruben? Oh no. Oh,
I'm
no.
out of stock on Lifebane Zombies?
You are.
Me personally?
Show. You are. Yeah.
Oh no. I have to go into my stash of Lifebane Zombies and restock them. Well, yeah, that's a hell of a match. Oh, it's a warrior. That means our Bramblewood Paragon can put a counter on.
In the event you needed to buy Lifebane Zombies for your personal collection, you sure as hell couldn't go to Star City and buy them right now.
As of this recording. I'm sure we actually have them.
Yes, please go to Star City. The customer service at Star City, this isn't a sell, but is always the best.
Yeah.
Like, I've had one issue with Star City, and it was just taken care of, and the guy that worked with me was just like, oh yeah, have this stuff for free too. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is why I paid maybe an extra buck. You know, it was totally worth it. I loved it. So, shameless plug, but no less.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. You can't say anything other than you know, we're the biggest and the strongest for a reason. And we put tender loving care into all of our orders. And if something is wrong, yo, we'll solve it, etc.
I got an order in the mail the other day, and there was actually lipstick on the envelope. So yes,
yeah,
there was in fact
that's some nice customer service.
Yeah. Couldn't explain that one to my girlfriend, but all right.
Honey, I swear it was the magic people. That doesn't make it better, Morgan.
The magic people is
the
probably not going to help your argument.
Probably not, no. No, she'll think I'm doing drugs again.
again is the key word.
Right, exactly.
Stick on my envelope. The magic people did it. Sit down, honey.
Good Lord.
It's like you could use a glass of water.
Oh my goodness, so Magic the Gathering.
All right, moving away from shameless Star City plugs and moving on to the last thing that we really wanted to talk about is Worlds. We had a huge, a week-long event that was the World Cup and the World Championships that were both held in Amsterdam. And it was awesome. I could not watch any of it because it was on during the day when I had to work like an adult. But I didn't care
Stop it, okay?
Listen. Some of us don't have summer vacation, Mike, all right? And actually have to work throughout summer. So
I am not one of them. So I watched a lot of Worlds coverage, and it was lovely. Great.
Yeah, fantastic. Good for you.
I just put it on at my job. Like, I just didn't care. And like I was like, you listen to the radio, I'm going to listen to Worlds Week. So,
you did this in church on Sunday as well, did you not, Jordan?
I did. I had my headphones in at church through my shirt during like sermon and all, just to watch France. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, man. Vive la France.
Oh, yeah. The games were so nasty, dude.
Top deck and Rakdos returns like none other.
Yeah, well, we top-decked Kessig Wolf Run in the second game, and then we top-decked Rakdos Return for the third game, because we needed to vary up our fireballs.
I mean, clearly. You gotta put that X into something, gotta put that mana into something.
That's right.
Oh, man. But yeah, since I didn't get a whole lot of watch a whole lot of it, I'm gonna let, Jordan and Mike take the floor. I got to watch the finals a little bit. I gotta watch Reed and Shahar Shenhar's finals, but when we get to there, I'll let you guys kind of take over for right now.
Yeah, man. Like, and I don't know how Mike feels about it. I come from, like, I talk about all the time, like a StarCraft background where the production value on events is insanely high for what it is, And so I've always kind of been very critical of the Magic scene for coverage of, like, the GP coverage we've talked about on this show and other shows have talked about it is, like, not up to par with what we feel like it should be. But man, Worlds Week, it was top of the line, man. I felt like I was watching ESPN. Cutting back to different desks kept me engaged. Luis Scott Vargas in the booth was fantastic. Knowing what's in the players' hands was huge. It looked good and it felt good, and it was something like I was proud to be able to sit in the car and watch on the way, you know, on a road trip. And when people ask what I'm doing, people are like, "Oh, here's this awesome game that I love. Watch it with me for a minute. You'll have no idea what's going on, but at least like I can explain it to you better than if I'm just watching like the GP coverage of like, well, we think he has four cards in his hand, and like." So I loved the production value. The games were sick. My heart broke when Reed Duke didn't win world championship, but at the same time, Shahar Shinhar is so sick too. So it was great. I don't know how Mike and Ruben felt about it, but I loved every bit of it. It was a great tournament for me, and I would totally watch it again based on what I saw at this event.
I'll go next here, Ruben. We'll give you the floor here.
All right.
In a second here, but, I watched a ton of it. Like, my wife, like, gets up for work at, like, you know, 6 and goes to work, so I'm like, oh, I'm up. Well, guess I'm going to watch Magic covered for the next, you know, X amount of hours. I still think that there could be some better commentating. Like, whenever LC was in there, it's amazing, and then when he's not, it's heavily noticeable. Like, oh, this just isn't nearly as good. Sure. But I love the formats. Like, I really enjoyed watching Modern Masters Draft, like, I think more than I should have, but it was really enjoyable. And definitely, you know, having, like you said, a lot of different, like, back and forths on, like, you know, I think the explanations were better. I think when my complaints before, like, when watching, like, even the last Pro Tour was, like, the really simplistic explanations. Actually, it was Las Vegas, the GP, where they're like, yeah, let's tell you what goblins do. You know, you play goblins. You play a lot of them. They attack. Like, I'm like, this is terrible. So I felt like the coverage was a little bit better than just, like, the lowest common denominator. And it was definitely engaging. Like, there was a number of teams, like the Irish team, who just hearing the interviews with them, I was all of a sudden like, yeah, go Ireland! Like, and I there would be no other way for me to care about that beyond that, so. What do you think, Ruben?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, it's my job to do Magic coverage, so I may...
Oh, wait, that's your job? Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so, like, I didn't know if you were aware, but we've, you know, this is something that I pay very close attention to. I actually was not allowed to watch it at work either, so I had to go back and watch the videos that I could, and then I watched over the course of the weekend, and then read up on all the stuff that I had missed. So to address the StarCraft point, StarCraft and League of Legends and games like that are much more exciting to watch in a vacuum. Like, I will just watch my friends play video games, and I don't know how to play them. You know, I've spent many a night just watching my college friends play, you know, Super Smash Brothers or, like, do Link to the Past or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same with Magic. You can't just sit down and watch people play Magic if you have no idea what's going on. And so it's just it's easier to get those level zero viewers in there for StarCraft. And as a result, there are just way more viewers for StarCraft, which starts the cascade effect of meaning that they get higher on the Twitch page and they put in higher production value and more people start playing StarCraft as a result of just the viewing of it. If that makes sense. And mm-hmm. So, you know, Magic's getting there, but we are not a big fish by any stretch. In the streaming games department just yet. There's a couple ways they can fix that. First of all, having LSV in the booth all weekend is a huge boon. Having one of the... I think that it's not even arguable that he's one of the top five. It's arguable that he's top three. I think that you might be able to make an argument against him being top three of all time. So, like, you found your John Madden, mm-hmm. right? You found your guy that you can... That has won at the highest level, and now you have him in the booth. And so that's really a good find for Wizards. If they can convince him to stop playing in Pro Tours, that'd be ideal, but I don't think that's going to happen. So having that sort of expertise as the color commentator when you've got other guys doing the play-by-play is really good. There's a couple things that they can improve upon outside of just the people that they bring in. Knowing what's in the players' hands is obviously huge. That's why poker became the huge success that it's been. Before that, watching poker was like watching Magic. You just didn't care. But now you can get into the players' heads and see what's going on. And so the dudes with iPads technology that was introduced at Grand Prix Gate Crash, it really helps with that. I wish we could do it at Star City Games, but we're just a mom-and-pop organization, like, honestly. I mean, I say that, it sounds kind of funny, but really, there's like four of us.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare us to,
when you
compare us to Wizards, and, you know, Star City Games isn't a subsidiary of Hasbro. Let's put it that way. So we don't have the dudes with iPads technology yet, but that is certainly a step forward in terms of coverage. Another thing that what?
I said no eye dudes. Stupid.
Yeah, that's right. No eye dudes. Just yet. Someday we're working towards it. We'll also figure out how wheels work or something.
Fire but, hot.
Exactly. We will figure out other technology to make the game more popular as time goes by. But the last thing I want to make a mention of is, for at least at Star City, every week that you turn into Star City Games, the coverage does not, the quality of coverage doesn't change dramatically. Like, if you tune in for the Invitational, there are some things we do differently, but there's not a steep drop-off between the Invitational and an Open. Right. Whereas with GPs, it feels like they're just kind of messing around sometimes. Which this was addressed in John Butler's four-part series on Star City Games that we published, and it's gotten better. But at the time of the publishing, you could definitely tell that there's just a different feeling about doing this event and that event. And if you tune into golf, the coverage isn't different between a major. I mean, it's a little different, but the quality, there's not a noticeable drop off. And so right. I think that we really need to, as a whole in coverage, because we're all in this together, you know, the more viewers that the GP streams get, the better it is for me in the long run, even though I'm on the SCG side of things, right?
No,
so it's not like it's Star City Games isn't even a competitor of Wizards of the Coast. We're not competitors. We're on the same side here. And so I just want as many people watching Magic as possible. If they're watching StarCityGames.com, great, and they'll see my smiling face. But if not, in the long run, it helps me either way, wherever they're watching Magic.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of, and I've talked ad nauseum about this. This is, like, not news to most people who've heard me on other podcasts say these things. But, sorry, you're not getting a brand new information from me out of that. But suffice it to say that we have come a long way. And yet there is a long way to go in terms of Magic coverage. So,
I mean, like, that's the exciting thing. Like, we have all this room to grow and to actually make impacts and changes and see it from where it starts to where it ends. You know, it's not like watching, you know, pre-established sports coverage like football coverage or you know, baseball. Like, that is what it is, and like it'll be that way for.
But on the same, by the same token, the NFL was not always the NFL.
Exactly.
Right?
But we, you know, right now, like, we can be a part of that change. Like, we can actually do things, and I think that's a huge thing for the community as a whole, and if we rally around it, and if we make it the coverage that we want to have, then it could be huge, and it could be, you know, the size that, you know, these StarCraft things are, because you can make it exciting, because it's exciting for us. And if we can break that, we can break the formula or the wall to make it exciting to anyone else, then I think that'll be huge. Because if we can make it interesting for people to passively watch, then that's huge. And poker's done it, so like if
right.
that could be passively awesome to watch, then why not?
That was what I was gonna say. I know nothing about the details of poker. Like, I know how to play, but you know, like, people are like actually like good at poker, and I have no idea on like betting strategy and all that. But like, I'm gonna sit down and watch the World Series main event that's like gonna be aired on ESPN this week.
Yeah,
like, and it's very exciting. I'm captivated. So there's something we can do, and like I like what you said, Ruben, about how you're not competitors with Wizards. You're very different parts of the same business chain. Like, their ultimate job is to sell their product, and that's the part of the Pro Tour. That's part of, you know, GPs, all that. Your ultimate job, as Star City, is also to sell product, but it's not like you're taking business from Wizards to sell your
absolutely,
product.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I wouldn't watch yours if I didn't watch Wizards, or vice versa.
Yeah, I feel like because, like, some people think that we're competitors in some capacity, and we're really not. I mean, we do not compete with Wizards of the Coast pretty much on any level.
Right.
And it seems like people think that, and it's very strange to me that that's the message that some people get. You know, if people are watching GP coverage instead of a Star City Games Open coverage, that's one thing. But for the most part, I mean, I know I watch both. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that most people do. We just need to let people know that it exists.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only thing I could see where, like you just said, we had Worlds on about the same time, like, the Open and Worlds overlapped. But at the same time, that's the flipping World Championship.
Right.
You know, and I don't think Star City would ever claim that they're going to top the Worlds event.
Yeah, of course not. And it would be, I would venture to guess that our Invitational coverage garners slightly more attention than a average GP.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
I'm not sure on the numbers. I don't, you know, I'm not the big boss of that whole thing, but, you know, it's a weird conversation. It's an interesting conversation and a weird, sort of dichotomy that people think exists and just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, quite strange. I mean, we're all working towards the same goal. I feel that, you know, we want to, I've always held the idea that as a player base, we're investing in something that we want to continue to keep going. I don't want to buy cards and this die out in 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you have to, like, people have to accept the value of the cards. So the more people that play Magic, the more that we get to play Magic.
Right, exactly.
Right? It's just, so let's put a booster pack in everybody's hand and call it a day.
Well, I'll take mine in Columbus, Ohio at Comic Town. So you just find me there, Ruben.
There you go.
And I'll take my free Russian, please.
That sounds like a great,
if you could.
That sounds like a great political statement, you know. A booster pack in every hand and a stream and a stream on every screen.
The last time that I ran for something, it didn't work out too well when I tried to run for Community Cup.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I think that they understood that was a joke.
That's what I was like, maybe? Yeah,
fair enough. If it makes you feel better, I tried to run to lose weight today, and it didn't work either. I like going to work. I took a little jog, so I understand how it works, buddy. It sucks to not lose.
Wait, you
didn't lose weight.
You going for a jog was a joke? Like, you go, like, I'm going to go for a jog, and your body's like, this is a joke, right? Like, that's, is that what you're saying?
No, to be real, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go for a jog, and then I was like, ah, you know what, I think I'll just go to the bar and get wings. So that's exactly how that conversation went.
You could have at least jogged to get wings.
Oh, dog, that's like 5 minute jog. Are you playing?
Let me jog just summarize I'm going to summarize my thoughts on coverage real quick, from this past weekend at least, which is, I thought it was great. I was very entertained the entire time that I was tuning in. There are some things that can be improved, and I hope that they are. And, you know, when it will never be perfect, but you know what? We're getting there, so.
Yeah, and what is perfect? You know, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I like to see things like, so people complain, like, hey, we need to see players' hands. Wizards addressed it. I mean, people said, we want to hear, like, people like LSV commentating. And they said, hey, LSV, come to Amsterdam and commentate on this for us. So they're definitely listening. So you definitely, you know, have the chance to do that. And I do hope that, you know, Star City at some point is able to get the eye helper. Just because I think that adds such a huge dynamic to, like, instead of guessing at what they might be able to do, because I think one of the most important things, like, we have the term armchair quarterback, right? That's the fat guy who can't play football but tells, you know, calls up the plays while he's watching TV. And I think, like, we as players enjoy doing that. Like, you watch a game and you want to go, okay, this is the line I would take. Is he going to take this line? And you don't have that when you can't see the hands. And I understand, like, it's difficult to do. It makes coverage, like, it makes a feature match take longer because every time someone draws, you got to be like, hey, like, if you saw Brian Kibler in his constant card flicking, like, I would be angry if I was the person holding the iPad. Like, will you stop your hands for a minute? I need to read the card you just drew. But hopefully, I think that's a major step forward. So hopefully keep doing it.
Well, something that poker did was, you know, there were some players when poker first became, the hands became televised, you know, the TV companies were like, you have to put the hand in front of the camera so we can see it, right?
Right.
Some players, and I think there still are some players that do this to this day, just do not do that. Like, they put a stack of chips in front of the camera, or they look at their hand away from where the camera is, because they just don't want anyone to know what the hand was ever. And so there's going to be that kind of backlash if we say, hey, stop flicking cards quite so quickly. you know, people are going to be like, that's how I play Magic, or that's how I play poker. That's, you know, that's how I do things. I'm not going to just improve the game, the viewing of the game for your benefit if it impacts me in some other way. Yeah. So, you know, there's a little bit of give and take there, but I agree that, you know, the future is the full information for the viewer at home.
Definitely.
Man, and I really think, like, watching the finals match between Reed Duke and Shahar Shenhar, the tension, like, the palpable tension that was captured was there, and I thought, like, that whole entire five game set was amazing. It's something that I think could be watched over and over again. I think that there are definitely improvements in coverage that I've been able to view since just starting to watch coverage, and it's very exciting to see where we go from here. And I definitely have hope, especially with bright minds like Ruben Bressler being a part of this change.
Oh, you're so kind.
So good. and of course, you know, we kind of already covered some of the lists that we saw. Obviously, I think like the biggest takeaway would be like Reed Duke playing Boggles, playing some green white auras up in there.
Go outside your comfort zone sometimes, especially, you know, in a format that's not expecting it. Even for an open, you know, the green white Archangel Thune deck that won Knoxville was not an established archetype.
No, not
and
at
so
all.
Not every tournament is going to be won by the quote unquote best deck, you know. And a large percentage of them are going to be won by decks that people have never even seen before. And so, you know, there's a quote that's in Next Level Deck Building, and I'm not sure where it came from originally, where Chapin says, if you're not 25% net deck, you don't have a brain. If you're not 25% brew, you don't have a heart. Right? So everything is, you have to be a little bit of both. You can't only be playing the 75 that you saw online, and you can't only be playing the thing you thought up. You have to take all of the information.
Oh, exactly. So that means Jordan's heartless. I knew it.
I didn't say it like that. I when I said like brewers are crazy, and it's in a much different light.
I was there have been times in my Magic playing history where I have been dangerously close to 100% net deck, and there have been times in my life where I've been dangerously close to 100% brew. And that's because I've been playing Magic for so long. And, you know, eventually you'll vary. You'll go back and forth on what you're most comfortable with, whether it's a brew or whether it's an established archetype. But, you know, it's important to realize that it doesn't matter if you came up with the idea. It doesn't matter if a million people have had the same idea. What matters is how the games actually play out. Right? And so your theory crafting, where the theory came from, doesn't matter. The card does the same thing, whether you came up with the idea or not.
That's fair.
Sure. I think definitely a good example of that is, like, so, and you talk about, like, don't be, like, some people, there are definitely brewers who are like, oh, I can't, if you net deck, you're terrible. But, like, even if you look at Worlds, you know, Kibler plays this green red deck, and then you look at the World Magic Cup the next day, and almost every single team has one of those decks in it.
A lot of team had one of those decks in it. Yeah,
I mean, they just decided like this is they didn't. There's no, you know, they didn't prepare with that deck. They didn't come, you know, more than likely they didn't come to Amsterdam with that deck in mind. They saw the deck and they said, you know what, this is a good choice. So even if they thought like, oh, I want to play this, you know what, this is the right choice. And I think that's something to.
And being a team unified constructed event had a lot to do with that because they were only using Stomping Ground of the 10 dual lands. But aside from looking at weird considerations like team constructed deck building, that I mean, good ideas will come along, and you know, it only became a net, you know, before it was a net deck, it was somebody's idea. So
right
that's really inspirational.
Man,
someone else's idea.
That deck was someone's daughter.
That actually just gives me a little bit of like insight into how to prepare for the PTQ this weekend coming up, and like, you know, it kind of changes perspective a little bit. So I appreciate your comment, Ruben.
Yeah, no problem. So let me give you an example of how I did this in practice. I didn't end up going to the Knoxville PTQ, or PTQ, the Knoxville Classic, but I was planning on going to it, and a bunch of the folks from Roanoke went, and the top 16 is littered with their names. Like, they literally all lost their win-ins. It was very funny. But I was practicing the green-white Huey Jensen deck and playtesting it, and I found Wolfear Silverheart to be very lackluster. And I simply replaced them with Vorapedes and found them to be very good against the decks that I was expecting to play against. So I took a net deck. I took a deck that was a second place at an open, you know, a deck that everyone knew about, changed it slightly. I changed a bunch of sideboard stuff to, not a bunch, but a couple of sideboard things too, kept the heart and soul of the deck together, and made some very, not even because it's not cosmetic changes. It was, there were very serious implications to how I changed the deck around based on what I was expecting. You know, I expected there to be more Jund than Huey was expecting there to be at an open after an invitational, right? Huey didn't play Jund once. And so I needed the main deck Vorapedes to be able to compete against the decks that have all that elimination. I had Pay No Heed in my sideboard for Bonfire of the Damned. So, you know, I made changes like that that had very real impact on how the game played out. But the core strategy was still there.
Right.
And so, you know, that's an example of taking a net deck and only tweaking it slightly. You don't have to start from the ground up. You don't have to start at the top and stick to that 100%. It's just, you know, I think most people know that you don't have to make a deck, quote unquote, your own to win with it. But if making it your own helps, then sure, you're more than allowed to do that. In fact, you're encouraged to, because technology doesn't become technology in terms of Magic until someone makes it the norm.
So, do you get to play any Magic anymore nowadays? Like, I know you travel every weekend to do your job. So, do you ever get to FNM or play competitively, or like what's
I do. When I do get to play, I am fortunate to have playtesting partners who are my coworkers at work, who are some people you might have heard of. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate in the quality of my playgroup here in Roanoke, Virginia. And I do get to go out, and play in events. For example, I went to Grand Prix Las Vegas and did some side events. I entered the main event, but, didn't end up playing in it. And I do go to GPs and opens whenever I get the chance to, if I'm not dead tired. It just so happened that this past weekend I was too tired to try to go to the Classic, because I'm traveling so much and on the road and in the office a lot. So I don't get to play as much as I used to back when I was a, what the folks call a grinder. Although I don't even think I was a grinder. I was just a guy that showed up to tournaments a lot. So, you know, I don't get to play as much as I used to, but the amount that I get to play, I'm comfortable with. I get to play in FNM whenever I get to play whenever I want to, really, because, you know, I wouldn't have taken this job if I had that fire, you know what I mean, to still qualify.
Right.
I just don't have it anymore. I am much better at this than I am at playing. And I like improving that facet of my game more than I like improving the playing facet of my game personally. And I know that makes me weird, but it's what I am. So I don't get to play in a ton of events, but the ones I do get to play in, I have a good time. And people are always surprised when they see me play Magic. It's very funny these days.
Oh, you still
like,
do?
Hey, okay. Are you covering Grand Prix Las Vegas? And I'm like, no. And what? How does that even make sense?
You own cards? Wait, really?
Yeah, exactly.
is it awkward, like, asking time off for work like that? Like, hey, I can't come to the Magic event this weekend because I need to go to a Magic event.
Right. it's not really awkward. I mean, I just have to ask off for work. And, you know, I work so many weekends that I have the opportunity to do that when I want to. It just doesn't come up that much.
Fair enough.
Now, something I've always been interested in, and I'm sure, you know, some of our listeners who are really into Magic, really whatever, it might be in your similar situation where they just want to get involved with an organization like a Star City or, you know, like a name random competitor here. And
You're allowed to say the competitors.
No, I'm just like, there's a billion rando stores.
Yeah, exactly. There's like 200.
Ruben, this is my show. I'll say whatever store I want.
Go ahead, bud.
So how does someone like fall into being a Ruben Bressler? How, like, did you just apply to Star City one day and be like, hey, I know how to, like, produce video content, and you walk into that role, or is it something you stumble on, or what was your process? Because that's something that I'm personally interested in, and I could bet other people would be as well.
The way that happened for me was very weird. And as far as I can tell, the way that anyone becomes a writer for Magic the Gathering is they just literally start writing and sending it out and hoping someone publishes it. Like, that's where it comes from. So my story begins, I learned Magic when I was 12, and then in college, the internet started being much more important, and specifically YouTube became more important, and the Magic Show with Evan Irwin started. And after a couple episodes, he decided he needed to take a break from his weekly show and go on vacation with his family. So he said, hey, if anybody out there wants to make a Magic show, and I think it's good, I'm going to put it in the place of where I usually host it. And a friend of mine named Nick Miller was like, hey, we're both stand-up comedians. We both play Magic. We're both good writers and good on television. Let's make this video. And you, Ruben, have some video experience, so let's make this thing. So we made episode 43 of The Magic Show, The Future is Bleak, which is a Future Sight preview show before Future Sight came out, to give you a hint as to how long ago this was. And they decided to publish it, or he decided to publish it. And the story goes that Evan has wanted to hire me ever since then, but I needed to do some other things. For example, I started writing for some websites. Eventually, I started writing for a different website. Eventually, I got hired by Star City to make videos occasionally and also write a little bit. Then I went on my own personal hiatus when I decided to get more serious with school and stand-up comedy. Then I came back to the game, managed to top 8 and open with a random deck, Mono Blue Athens Blue Control in Cincinnati a while ago. Wrote a report. It was popular, and people were like, why did you stop writing? The editor at the time, Steve Sadin, was like, hey, come back and write, please. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. Then one day on Twitter, Evan Irwin said, hey, why aren't you making videos anymore? And then I said in response, I guess I'll start making videos again. And that got a lot of response on social media. So I decided I had to do that. And so I came up with this idea of like, well, there isn't really a news show for Magic. I guess I'll just do that. But magicians don't really have the patience for actual news. So we have to do it Weekend Update, you know, Colbert Report style. So I came up with the Newsening, and I recorded my first episode of the Newsening in, or episode zero, I guess, the pilot that never aired, in Cranny's basement. Then I recorded the first episode sometime a couple weeks later, and then at Grand Prix Nashville last year, Evan was like, hey, I want to hire you. And I was like, all right, yes, deal. And so then I moved to Roanoke, and we started doing the Newsening, and I picked up a bunch of other responsibilities in-house. Currently, we aren't recording Newsenings in-house because of how busy I am and how busy everyone is. But those are also coming back. That is also on hiatus and is not dead entirely. But the character lives on in interviewsenings with various folks. So I have a good time doing that. And that's my story. Now, that's a vastly different story than pretty much anyone else you'll ever talk to, right? So my number one hint for you would be start writing. I know that several people have gotten attention from Star City Games, Wizards of the Coast, the big boys like Channel Fireball or TCG Player, because they started blogs with their own thoughts and just started publishing stuff on their own blog about Magic. And that can get attention. You can also write articles and send them out to the various editors of the various websites. So, or to the various blogs. There's other people who are just, they don't sell Magic cards. They just want to publish Magic content. And so getting your voice heard is the most important thing. And once you're out there, and then you have to prove that you're good at it,
And then once you prove that you're good at it, someone will pay you for it. So,
sweet, guys. Well, clearly all we need to do is make sure that we're good at this. So yeah. Episode 100, we might get a penny or something like that.
Hey, man. I've done a little bit here. Not as much as Ruben, but I mean, I've been published. I'm legit, and I've done some stuff recently with Revised Angel on her blog. So I've tried to start this little ball rolling.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It took me a long time to get hired, to get attention from the big boys, and then hired by Star City Games as a full-time employee, you know. Mm-hmm. Took a while. That was never really my intention, actually, when I started doing this, was to, after making the first video, I didn't say to myself, yeah, that's going to be my full-time job someday.
Right.
But, sure. You know, it's not like you're going to say no to it, so... you just have to be open to possibilities, play to your strengths, and put yourself out there so that people can see you.
Yeah. I had a great follow-up question, and it just went away. That's the actual worst, Ruben. it was related to, like, you and then... Oh, my goodness. Never mind.
So you were going to ask Ruben a question about himself, and it was really
and
good.
And then you were there, and you were there.
I mean, that's really interesting. Like, I think for a lot of people, it just seems so overwhelming. And that's cool to hear about a guy who literally just started writing, and it just happened because he just loved the game. And I think that's something we talked about.
If you want more explanations, if you want more examples of we started from the bottom, now we hear, there's a bunch of them out there. There's like Tom Lapilli works for Wizards of the Coast, has been for a long time, just started writing his own blog about Magic and got attention from Star City Games and then got attention from Wizards of the Coast.
Well, I mean, like, I read Cedric's article when he took over as content producer for the website.
Cedric's another great example.
And he's like, yeah, I used to just, like, double table with White Kithkin, and then, like, oh, I made it. And I'm just like, wait, you go from not eating because, you know, like, you wanted to grind Moto for a living to, yeah, I managed the content on Star City. Like, that's really encouraging. I'm saying this half as a joke, half serious. It feels very American, you know. Like I came from the bottom, and like now I'm just doing what I like. And I think you said something in there, like to a good effect, if you do this because you love the game, and you don't start this with the idea that this is going to be my job. And right. I think that's really cool. Like, if you're in this to be a millionaire, go to college.
Go do anything.
I think it's really cool that. Everybody that writes and everybody that is known, so to speak, just loves this game. And I like to romanticize Magic a lot, probably a little more than I should, but it's such a good game. And
it is.
It's
very well done.
Yeah, so...
everybody had to write their first article at some point. Nobody came out of the womb polished. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody's first article was Who's the Beatdown. You know, everybody has growing pains with their writing. You know, if you go back and look at even the great writers today, you go back and look at their first articles, they're not going to be pretty. My articles are awful. I read my articles from my first stint at Star City Games, and I'm like, that's embarrassing. Can we take those down, please? And so, you know, not everybody's going to, you know, it's going to take a while. It takes a long time to learn how to be a good Magic writer, or whatever part of the community you end up in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you got to find your niche, you got to find what you love, and then just hammer that until somebody decides to pay you for it.
Sure.
I like that. Hey, you want to pay me yet? No? You're gonna.
If you're passionate, if you're passionate about something and you're good at it, you're gonna get paid for it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're good at it, and you're passionate about it, this doesn't stop at just Magic writing or Magic anything. If you're good and you're passionate, you're gonna make money doing it. Like, there's no question. That's just how things work.
That's good advice.
That's good advice for outside of Magic. I mean, like, I think that's super sweet. Like,
that's my fortune cookie.
Again, this has been another the more you know moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cool. I'm actually kind of like, and this is weird, I mean, I'm still, like, figuring out what I want to do with my life and all that business, just like everybody else, but, like, it kind of, like, strikes me as just weird. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that's cool. You've definitely given me a lot to think about, Ruben, and I'll just accept my job offer for Star City right now. I would love to be assistant video producer for Star City, so thank you all.
Well, I don't have that power.
You know, it's fine. I'll just meet you in Salt Lake City on Saturday. And
oh, cool. So you'll be in Salt Lake?
I will not be, actually.
Oh, okay.
Unless you're paying me to be there, which I doubt it. So.
Liar! Okay. But yeah, no, I mean, if you make videos, like, that's another thing. It's just make videos, post them, tweet them, make sure they get in front of people's faces. That's the most important thing, is not, you can be the best writer that no one's ever seen, and no one will read your article, and it doesn't matter. So, there you go.
Yeah, and so that's actually a great transition point. You're going to be in Salt Lake for SCG Open. Correct. We look forward to seeing the results from that. We look forward to talking about that, and it'll be really cool to talk about the videos we saw and be like, man, a guy on the At Your Instep had something to do with that. So, that'll be cool. Mike, what are you doing? What are you doing this weekend in the Magic world? I know we have a big PTQ in Columbus. You want to walk us through that?
And this is Ruben, where you normally would come. It's sad, yeah, it'd be in Salt Lake, but that's fine. But the local store Comic Town is running their PTQ for this season, which is pretty late in the season, so standard's almost done.
Almost the end. Yeah,
yeah. Love so, Comic Town.
That's good stuff. We'll be out of the convention center down in Columbus, as I hope most of the people in this region probably will be, playing awesome 9-10 rounds of wonderful standard and probably getting heartbroken again, because that's been this season for me. So, yay.
Mike Penny, the heartbreak kid.
I'll be playing Band Control. I don't think I can play Naya, and I want to cast Farseek and hug it close to my chest one more time before it's gone.
Are you going to play the, what's that green, blue, blue counter spell that you seem to have a thing for?
I am running a one of Plasma Capture, just to get you, I guess.
Just like turn three Aetherlene, like, get him. But,
It's a good card against Jund. Like, you counter like Cryptoric Tusk, and then you play an Aetherlene or a Revelation, and it's pretty good.
Yeah,
so.
That's pretty sweet. Are you going to go to, Ruben wrote about this in an article for his Origins Report, Barley's? We will definitely be hitting the Barley's up afterwards.
Yeah, man, Barley's is awesome.
We'll pour one out for you, Ruben.
Yeah,
excellent.
I'll have two for you, buddy.
No. Actually, I'm lying.
Don't pour it out. That's
yeah.
Wasteful.
I'm lying. I'll drink it. I'll drink it.
I'll
in
pour
your
it
hand.
Out directly into my face.
Yeah, Morgan, what's your weekend look like?
I'm probably gonna be. I am for sure 100% going to be going to the PTQ, of course, and probably gonna be sticking with Jund. Other decks have tempted me. I cannot say that I have not been tempted.
Can I interest you in Caravan Vigil?
I don't know if I'm going to go that deep.
All right.
Could be the right choice, but I don't know if I'm smart enough or stupid enough to make that choice. so yeah, I'm definitely going to be sticking with Jund. I would have to say I'm probably going to be packing the Lifebane Zombies main. Can't think of anything else. I think that with the resurgence of Blue White Red, and it being just a very, very, popular archetype as a whole, not necessarily in our specifically FNM metagame, but as a whole, I think I'm going to have to move back to Slaughter Games, even though I think that card, it just feels miserable to play sometimes. But I think I'm just going to have to get it to snag some revelations out of some people's hands and decks.
Just like Rurikthar, man.
Yes! Thank you so much, Ruben.
That has been Jordan's card choice, and that could be just as fine too. I've never actually played with the card, but I know it's heard some good things about it. So that is also
there
a valid argument.
Cannot be bowed. I don't know if you know this.
In fact, unbowed. This is true.
To be fair, I haven't casted it in M14 yet. It got just countered both times I casted it against Blue White Red last time. But, like, it's so good. Like, if it sticks, they're taking six.
Wait, hold on. I need to see if Rurikthar is a warrior.
I think he's an ogre, isn't he?
He's an ogre. Come on, show me the money. One time, dealer. Ogre warrior, we did it! So we can cast our Lifebane zombie and our Rurikthar off of the same caverns.
Ooh, oh man, man, we did it.
We're in a one of cavernous hole. There we go, it's decided.
That is delicious.
Yeah.
Exactly where I want to be living.
Can you taste the value? Can you taste it?
Can you taste the value?
It tastes like Cavernous Souls is still $20. That's what it tastes like.
Yeah. Well, Jund's a good choice. I think Band Control is also a good choice. I mean, those are both decks that are very build dependent based on on what you end up facing. You know, if you face Band Hexproof, then you better have your build your deck for Band to be able to deal with Band Hexproof. You know,
Supreme Verdict. That's where we're at.
Yeah, and if your Jund deck doesn't have Liliana's in the sideboard, and you randomly face Band Hexproof twice, well, okay, whatever.
Good turn. Yeah.
So I mean, it's you know, those are both decks that have a lot of play to them. So not surprised to hear you guys.
Yeah, a lot of play and a lot of options, and yeah. that's what I really want with the deck I'm going. Like I have infinite ways to prepare for matchups, and with how standard it is these days. I mean, you can't prepare for everything as much as you'd like to, but you just kind of have to know the metagame. You know, specifically Midwest area, usually we're a lot more mid-range based, a lot more, just a lot more mid-range deck. So, like, I'm going to prepare for those matchups, and definitely know that Hexproof, I've seen people locally that come into Comic Town that do play that deck, so I'll be preparing for that as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you. And good luck to all of us. And hopefully we can get another Columbus player queued.
That's right.
Yeah. I just would love another guy from our specific test group queued. You know what I mean? It was sick to get one. If we can get another guy queued, that'd be solid. I'm still not sure if I'm going to be able to play, which is really nerve-wracking. Like, my employer that is trying to cover for me apparently had a hair appointment scheduled for Saturday and doesn't know if it can be moved. And I'm thinking, coming to my house after work, I'll cut your hair.
No, that is not a good suggestion for anyone.
No, but like I want to go play the PTQ, so I'll mess up somebody's hair to go play the PTQ. I'll definitely come to hang out afterwards. Like I'll definitely come to see how everybody's doing. You know, go to Barley's. But as of this point, I'm not sure if I'm playing. If I do, I'll play Jund. Pretty normal list. I don't know. Lifebane Zombie is definitely a card that I'm strongly considering. I haven't played with it yet in testing, so I don't know if I want to run that card out there.
I'll give you a quick heads up about it. It feels good.
It feels good.
It doesn't feel bad.
Okay. All right, then I guess I'm playing, you know, three Lifebane Zombies main. And I'm so excited. Like, I haven't played Magic in a little bit, so because it took last week off, so I'm pretty ready to play some games. So
if you're playing the Lifebane Zombie version, you need to have a different answer to Burning Earth.
Mm.
You gotta have something. I would suggest Golgari Charm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different answers out there. So.
Yeah, I like Golgari Charm myself for an answer.
Yeah, Golgari Charm's a good one because it also randomly answers Stromkirk Nobles and, like, Lightning Maulers and things like that. So.
Yeah, just random upside. Sometimes there's counters that Supreme Verdict when you need it to. That's how you necessarily. Well, you probably bring it in maybe against that matchup. Just
you would for
a random.
If you see like detention spheres and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you assume blue white red's playing the Assemble the Legion, so.
Oh yeah.
They're gonna start
right, especially against the more control-y versions. If you see Assemble the Legion, so yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can swing Jund that you can pretty much plan for anything. So.
Right.
Which is why it's so hard to beat. You know, it's hard to beat a good stuff deck, and then like. It's literally, in my opinion, the best cards in the standard format are in that deck. So, you know, how can it lose?
Right.
Easily, if it's played by you. No, just kidding, Jordan.
Ha-ha.
But we do have one final thing before we go. We obviously had a contest. We talked about it for two episodes. We said it was ending today. It has ended. And Jordan, I believe we have a winner. Is that correct?
We do have a winner. He was decided just before the show started.
It's me, isn't it?
You didn't
Ruben, you
tweet,
didn't participate.
That's fair. That's my fault.
I'll tell you what, I will buy you an At Your Instep playmat if you put it on a playmat tech at Star City.
Playmat tech?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm not doing it.
I need you to make it. I need you to make it happen, Ruben. Andy Gronick from the Central Ohio area won it. There were 17 entrants that retweeted the contest tweet, commented or retweeted other at your end step related tweets. So we included more. You know, we just wanted to make sure everybody had a chance. And Andy Gronick won it. And shout out to him. We'll get a hold of him on the Twitter sphere and get that mat shipped out to him. I'm really glad someone not in America didn't win.
That's terrible.
Not because, like, I would have just bit the bullet and sent it, but, like, Cedric Phillips did a contest giveaway for, like, a jersey on his stream once, and he's like, yeah, somebody in Great Britain won. It's, like, $40. And I was just like, oh, man, I did not think this through. So, Andy Gronick, Central Ohio area, congratulations. We'll run more contests in the future for sure.
Yay. First successful contest. Yay.
I don't have anything else to that I want to talk about. Morgan, do you have anything?
No, that is everything for this episode about your Instep. Ruben, thank you so much again. It has honestly been a pleasure having you on here. Anytime that you want to come back, I can understand not wanting to come back, but anytime you do, you get really drunk. I don't know.
Yeah,
come on,
man.
Back. We'll
no
have
problem.
You anytime.
I had a great time. Thanks for having me. Okay. By the way, if I were to play this weekend, as I've mentioned, I love a mana elf. I would play the green-white deck, the Archangel of Thune deck.
Okay.
That's the deck I play. That deck, like, you can't ever lose to the green-red Kibler deck. Blue-white-red flash is questionable, I think, but I think that you have so many threats that they have. You just overload them on threats, plus you play things in their end step like Advent of the Worm and Loxodon Smiter can't be countered. So, turns out.
As a guy that likes the elves, do you would you see anything to that mono-green deck that made its big debut at Worlds?
No.
Okay.
That deck's playable in a format where you don't get to use 150 cards because your teammates had them.
I mean, that's fair, and that's a good question. Like, you know, the guys over at Wizards did a great job of talking it up.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, that format isn't.
No, I'd rather play this thing. This thing's awesome. Sure, anyway, that's what I'd play this weekend, and that's all I got. I'll see some of you at hashtag SCGSLSLC. Yeah, Salt Lake City. SLC. And yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, thanks so much, Ruben. Really
agree. Yeah, those are great.
I'm leaving you guys. The you guys have to be the Central Ohio podcast while in contention's not recording.
We'll do it.
I'm leaving you guys that mantle. Do you think you can handle that?
Of course.
All right.
100%. We'll be here.
Here's the keys. I'm gonna go out.
We won't wreck your car, Dad. I promise.
Wait, how many miles are on in contention? We gotta make sure we know.
Yeah.
we definitely have, we're gonna write that one down. As always, listeners, thank you so much. We can't wait to talk to you guys next week. And this has been another lovely episode about Aaron Stuff. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day.